Well, it's good to be back.
Amen.
For a while there, it seemed that we were missionaries to San Antonio instead of from San Antonio. When we first went to Mexico, it seemed like about every month or 6 weeks we had to come back for something, and it got to be almost a joke. Bill and I were missionaries that were on the road more than we're anywhere else, but we finally got things settled, and the work has begun to prosper some, and the Lord's given us some direction. Bill and I have been praying for a long time about what the Lord would have us to do and just exactly where to spend our time. You know, there's so many things that a missionary can do. I mean, you can find a lot of things to do here, but you'd be surprised. A missionary can find so many things that he can do, and all of them are good things. All of them are worthy things, but you know, we have to choose not just good things, but we have to decide what the best thing is.
Amen.
And what God's will is for our lives. And Bill and I have been praying for a long time, and to feel that now the Lord has given us some direction in our lives is what we should be doing, and we're going to be doing primarily evangelism. And the Lord's really opened up some doors. In fact, just a little while before we left, we had an opportunity to go out and spend a week and visit some churches. And a different night, we were in a different church every night. And Bill and I have sort of an arrangement. I show the film and he preaches, or he shows a film and I preach. But these people didn't know about that arrangement, and we showed the film and we both preached. They preached us and preached us. I tell you, they just didn't want us to quit preaching. And it was really good. We had a marvelous time. The last 2 days that we were there, we were going to an Indian village. And I didn't know all the details. I didn't realize all the things that were going on. So we got in the pickup and we started down the road, and I said something about what time we'd be getting back that night, and he said, well, we're not coming back tonight. And I said, well, where are we going to sleep? He said, oh, there'll be some place to sleep. Well, I've been to those villages. I know what those some places to sleep are. I said, we better go back and get some sleeping bags. He said, oh, no, there'll be plenty of place to sleep. I said, I'm going to go back and get a sleeping bag. So we turned that truck around. We went back and we got our sleeping bags, and we got what few covers we had, because these people that were with us didn't have anything to sleep with either. And boy, am I ever glad we did. I like to froze it in a sleeping bag. I don't know what I'd done without a sleeping bag. But we got down the road, and Billy was gracious. You know, it does have some advantage to be old, because they take care of you. Bill let me drive, because there wasn't but room for but one, because they had two rather large ladies in the front seat. And so those two large ladies, there's just room for one of us. So Bill graciously let me drive, and he got in the back with the men. And I drove down this road as far as I could, and I got to a hill I just couldn't get up it. And we tried and tried. The men got out, and they pushed and they pushed, and Bill got in. He tried. He thought he could do better than I could. He tried, and you know, that truck just wouldn't go up that hill. And so I asked the fellow that we were the sort of directing thing. I said, how much further is it? And he misunderstood my question, because he thought I was asking how much further of a bad road. So he said about 1 kilometer. Well, that's about a half a mile. And I said very bravely, I said, we didn't walk that far. And so you can't imagine, really. We had a light plant. We had the projector. We had the film. We had a table to put the projector on. We had the big screen. We had a bass fiddle bigger than a refrigerator. We had an accordion and guitar. You can't imagine all the paraphernalia we had in that thing. So we all climbed out of the pickup, and we started getting this stuff all loaded up. And this guy, like I say, it's good to be old. This guy said, Brother Wes, you can't carry all that stuff. I had some things, you know. So he maybe put all my stuff down, but one little bitty duffel bag kind of thing, and my Bible, and of all the stupid things, I stuck my electric razor in my pocket, and my toothbrush, and my toothpaste. And before I got on that trip, I said, this is ridiculous, me carrying all this stuff. I said, these people don't even bathe up here. But anyway, we got out of the truck and we started walking. And we walked and we walked and we walked. I mean, up the mountains and down the mountains. It was at least 4 or 5 miles. I mean, I couldn't believe it. So finally, when we got there, it wasn't any better when we got there than it was on the road. It was just muddy. I mean, we waded around in mud for the whole weekend. It was terrible. But the greatest surprise of all, the next morning, we had the meeting that night, and we had a meeting. I'm telling you, we had a church that, I'm sure that the square footage is almost as big as this room is here. It was narrow and longer, but it was crammed. I mean, it was crammed. They were standing in every available space, and then outside, they were just as far as you could see. I mean, I never saw so many Indians in one place. Never saw so many Indians in one place. And we had the meeting and had a good meeting. But the next morning we got up and went down to a dining hall. They built a dining hall for special occasions. They all eat together. And we went to the dining hall and sat down. They had had about three or four tables there. But the one they sat us at was a pretty good long table. And right in the middle of the table was a hot tamale. Now, you never seen hot tamales like that. That was a 25-pound hot tamale. It was about so long and about so wide. And that guy took that knife and cut that thing up just like you would a cake, you know. And there in the middle of that hot tamale was a chicken. I mean, I don't think there's any feathers, but bones and all. I mean, they just put it right in the middle and they cook it like that. And, of course, everybody wants the meat, so they, you know, no knives or fire. No plates, no nothing, just a hot tamale. Boy, you reach for the meat. You get the meat. Because there's only about 2 pounds of meat and the rest of it's masa. And if you don't know what masa is, that's just cornmeal. So we had that. Well, I made the mistake of asking for a drink of water. And they brought out the only cup they had. It was about so tall and about so big around. And that cup went clear around the table. I tell you, if you're very particular, you don't go there. But we had a marvelous time. We really did. It was. They gave us a dining hall to sleep in. I thought that was great because it had solid walls. Their houses are made out of sticks, you know, about like my fingers. You know, you can see right through them. But they gave us the dining hall, and I thought that was really great. Until that night, we lay down, and I realized on the gable ends, they didn't have those things filled in. And that was just like a tunnel. That wind would go right through there. Bill and I slept right next to the fireplace where they cook with our feet right next to the fireplace all night long, and we still like to froze. I don't know how those people sleep. I don't know. And you know what? They waded around that mud barefooted. Here I was with fur-lined boots, two pair of socks, and just freezing to death, and they were wading around in that stuff barefooted. I tell you, I guess you can get used to anything. But we had really a good time, and the Lord has really opened some doors for Bill and I as we've gone out and preached the gospel, and we really praise the Lord. You know, this ministry we have of showing the films, I really believe it's ordained of the Lord, because we get a good crowd. I don't guess we've ever preached to less than, 150 people. Probably somewhere in that neighborhood is the smallest group we've ever preached to. I don't know. We haven't kept real good figures, but we always get a good crowd. People will come to a film, yeah, even if it's a film on the life of Christ. And then when they come, we're amazed. At least we used to be. We're not anymore because we've seen it. But they'll stay and listen to the gospel. You know, things have changed. When I was in Mexico before, it was a difficult thing to get people to listen to the gospel. It really was. You couldn't get people to listen. But people come and they stay and they listen to the gospel. And we really thank the Lord for it. It's really, really opened some doors for the preaching of the gospel. And we have people saved. And we're trusting that the Lord will use this ministry to build up the churches. One reason that we've gone into the particular kind of work we're going into is because Bill and I don't feel that we have an awful lot of time. We don't know how long the Lord's going to have the doors open in Mexico. But, you know, follow-up work is very difficult. And if you go into an area where there's nothing and you start trying to do something, well, you'll spend all of your time just the follow-up work. You can, well, for instance, Bill and I went into this village and there were a number of professions of faith, but only one really has followed through. And we've gone back now for several months and had meetings with just one man. Well, now, we're not despising the little thing. That's not it at all. But we can get tied up by doing just work with just one or two, whereas in the work that we're trying to do now, we're trusting that what we'll be doing will be in conjunction with work that's already established, and when we leave, that work will go on because of those that are already there, those believers that are already there. And we'll not be tied up with just doing the follow-up, but rather we'll be able to do what I think the Lord's called us for, and that's evangelism.
Amen.
Preaching the gospel to people that have never heard it. And, you know, a lot of these people don't know how to preach an evangelistic message. They just don't know how. Some of them are timid. Bill and I went down in the southern part of Mexico, and we had a hard time getting some of them to let us preach in the square, you know, in the city part. They wanted to have the meeting in a home or in some secluded place because they're bashful, they're timid, they don't know how to really step out. And so Ben and I feel that our work is to go and preach the gospel to as many people as we can.
Amen.
In a public place, you know, where everybody can come. Bill's got the speakers on the back of his truck, and he goes through town and announces so that everybody knows there's going to be a meeting. And we have access to a large number of people almost every time that we have a meeting. And we really praise the Lord for those that have come. The week that the girls from the church here and Tim, the girls and Tim. Oh, that, there was another one that wasn't a girl. That's right. Carrie wasn't a girl either, was it? I forgot about Carrie. But we had a good time. We went out and we spent Sunday through Wednesday in a place there about, about 25 miles from San Luis, but it might as well be 1,000 miles because this is really out in the boondocks. And we had a good time. The Lord gave us some really good meetings. And others have come. Danny came and spent some time with us. And we thank the Lord for those that have come. The very first time we went to that place, Brother Al and Linda came. And Brother Al says, I know now why I'm not a missionary. took us an hour and a half to go 25 miles. The first 9 you can go in just nothing flat. But boy, that last 17's a booger, isn't it? It's really tough. But we really had a good time with all of those that have come, and we trust that some of the rest of you will come. It'll be a blessing to not only us, but it'll be a blessing to you. It really will. If you don't believe it, you ask some of these young ladies that went, to ask Tim, just what they think about the time that they spent in Mexico. It'll really change, your viewpoint, your perspective. If you've never been to Mexico or any foreign country, you ought to come sometime and visit with us. There's a lot of things that I could tell you, but time is short, and I'd like to share some things with you from the Word of God. In the book of Joshua, I'd like to share some things with you concerning the very thing that we're talking about, that is missions. You know, there's a great commission in Matthew that we're all acquainted with. Let's read that. It doesn't ever hurt to read something like this, even though it's ever so familiar. The 20th chapter of Matthew, let's read it again. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You know, we can sit around and we can argue and debate about how things ought to be done, and we can have a lot of discussions about methods and so forth. But you know, there's one thing we cannot escape, and that is the definite command that Jesus Christ gave to us.
Amen.
I'm not sure that Bill and I are doing exactly what we ought to do and exactly the way we ought to do it. But I'm sure of one thing, we've fulfilled the first part, we've gone. And you know, you can never fulfill the second part until you've done the first part. You've got to go first. Now, if you don't go, if you're sitting here and you're simply thinking about and planning and you're making all kinds of plans, but you never get around to going, you'll never fulfill the Great Commission. Because he said here, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Now, that is very interesting, isn't it? He said the reason that you ought to go is because all power, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and therefore I have the right to commission you. Therefore, I have the right to send you. I have the right to tell you to go. Because God has given into my hand all power and all authority, I therefore tell you, go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now Jesus said that we're to go. That's the first thing. And then we're to teach or we're to preach. It doesn't make any difference really, because teaching is just another form of preaching. It's just simply telling people the good news. I like that term that the Chandler Evangelism uses, the good news clubs. I tell you, we need more good news clubs. We need more people to start clubs that are spreading the good news. But Jesus said, go and teach. And then he says, baptizing. Now then, it's almost a certainty, according to the Lord Jesus, that if we'll go and we'll teach, that we're going to have converts to baptize.
Amen.
I mean, it's just as sure as that night will follow day, that if we'll go and we'll preach, that people will respond and there'll be converts to baptize. It never fails. God has called those that we have preached to, and they will respond. You know, it's not up to us. It's not because we're intellectual or because we're forceful or because we're anything else that people respond to the gospel, but it's because God is faithful, and he said that his word would not return unto him void. You know, if you're hesitant, if you're here this morning, and there is perhaps a thought in your mind that God may be calling you to be a missionary, and you're putting it aside by saying, well, I'm not qualified. Listen, none of us are qualified. God is not looking for qualified people. He's looking for willing people.
Amen.
Now, you know, God has never used really qualified people, but on rare occasions, usually He finds people that have no qualifications but one, and that's willingness. And God is looking for willing servants to go and to preach, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. You know, it's amazing how God uses even our faulting Spanish, how God uses even our lack of complete understanding of the Word of God. But God uses His Word, and if we'll be faithful and go and preach, then God the Holy Spirit will see to it that there are those who will respond and be saved. Well, He says, go and teach, and then He says there'll be those to baptize. And then He says, after you've done that, after you've made converts, then you're to teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. But now listen to this last part. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Amen.
I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now that's a great encouragement, isn't it?
Amen.
I don't believe there's ever a missionary that's gone anywhere and had any circumstance in which he has not found the Lord right there at his side. You can read these books of the lives of great missionaries, and you'll always find their testimony is always the same, and that is that no matter where they were, no matter how difficult the situation, there was the Lord Jesus right there at their side. I tell you, it's marvelous to know that he that has sent us has not sent us alone.
Amen.
He has sent us, but he goes along with us. He goes along not only by our side, but he's within us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Now then, over in Joshua, I'd like to speak to you briefly this morning about this matter of confidence in the Lord. Confidence in the Lord. You know, we need confidence. We really do. As God's people, we need to have confidence. Not in ourselves. Not in the arm of flesh. Not even in the people that are behind us. Not even in those that pray for us and support us. But our confidence needs to be in the Lord.
Amen.
And in Him only. But we have reason to have confidence. God has given us many reasons to have confidence in He that has sent us. Now, it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, now, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the... I know y'all appreciate my voice this morning. I think most of us have colds or have had them. But I have a little throat in my throat. And unto the great sea going... toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest.
Amen.
Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God had given you rest and had given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given your brethren rest. And he, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed a land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now, this morning I'd like to share some things with you from this book. I've got enough prepared here that it'd take the whole conference just in sharing what I've got with you from Joshua. I hope I can get to the heart of the thing and give you the real kernel. But you know, the book of Joshua is a very important book. Did you notice how similar the command was to Joshua as Jesus' command was to his disciples? Yeah. Do you recognize the similarities there? Now listen, we're at the same place in the New Testament when Jesus gave this command to the disciples as we are here when Joshua receives this command from the Lord. It's called a commission. It could also be called a great commission. And I tell you, there's no commission greater than the commission that we have. As the girls were just singing a while ago, something about us being the servants of the Lord, what's the word that was used in, I don't remember the word now. But anyway, we have the message of the Lord, and there are those that will never hear unless we go and give it to them. You see, all of the millions and billions of dollars that our government spends in foreign aid, not one single cent of it ever presents the gospel to anybody. You know, somebody said not long ago, I was listening to a tape, God smuggler is? Most of you have heard about him. Did you know he said that if we had spent only one-tenth of the money that we spent on the war in Vietnam on sending the gospel to the world, that all of the wars... Now, of course, we know that these are just statistics, figures. But he said if we'd only spent one-tenth of the amount that we spent in Vietnam on sending the gospel to the whole world, there would never be another war. But you know, our government is just like all other governments. They don't see the things of God. They only see war and peace, and they only consider things in the terms of politics. And they will never, never, never take the gospel. If the gospel is taken to the foreign fields, it'll be through people like me and you. The government will never subsidize missions. It'll always be from poor people. And do you know most of the mission money comes from ordinary folks? Or somebody may every once in a while send $100,000 or maybe even $250,000, and it looks big. But listen, that's nothing compared to the dollars here and the dollars there that all added up make millions and millions of dollars every year that takes the gospel to the foreign field. Amen. But we're the missionaries. If the gospel is ever taken to the foreign field, it'll be through common people like me and you. And so, we have a commission. Listen, I am higher in this world than the ambassador to any country the United States has.
Amen.
I wouldn't trade places with the ambassador to Great Britain, the ambassador to France, or to Germany, or Russia, or anywhere else. God has commissioned me to be his ambassador to Mexico. And that's the best thing in the world that I can even consider. So this is a great commission. But I want you to consider something here. This took place after Moses died. Now, you know, most of us are living in a situation where there's laws and rules, where it's a matter of us doing for ourselves. You know, the law says, do this and thou shalt live. And we have all kinds of rules and regulations. Most of us don't know very much at all about the life of faith. But you know, there has to come an end to ourself, to our doing, to our obeying, to our keeping this rule and that rule, to the law that we've lived under before we can ever enter into the life of rest. Now then, the land of Canaan is a type of, a picture of, the land of rest for the Christian. The time when the child of God no longer is under bondage to anything, but he's able to walk in complete peace and harmony because he's walking by faith. Now then, before they were to enter in, Moses had to die. And now Joshua, who had been the minister of Moses, Joshua had been faithful all the time that Moses was alive, now is elevated, and he becomes the leader of the people. And so God comes to Joshua, and by the way, Joshua's name was changed to Joshua, which means Jehovah saves. And you know, if we only could realize that every one of us have had our names changed, the time that we were born again, the very moment that we received Christ, we got a new name. Now that new name signifies the same as His name, and that is that Jehovah saves. It's not what we do, it's not what we are, but it's He, Jehovah, that saves. He saved us, and it's He that will save others. And so Joshua is given now the commission. He says, now Moses is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. You know, God always calls His people to be leaders. God never puts us in a vacuum. He never isolates His people, but always when He deals with us, it's always in the context of other people. He wants us to be leaders. Maybe not the pastor of a church, but God intends for us to lead others. If nothing more than by our actions, we may not have to get up and say anything, but God wants us, like Joshua, to be the leader of people. I wonder, we do lead people. I wonder, do we lead them rightly? Do you know that every one of you have someone that follows you?
That's right.
Every single one in this room, and I mean even the children, some of you are not aware of it, but you have people that are following you, people that are looking to you, and you're their example. Where are you leading them? Now God said to Joshua, arise and lead this people over the Jordan into the promised land. Now I'm going to use this just a little differently this morning, and I think it's all right. As long as you understand, as long as I explain to you that that the promised land is a type of the land of rest, then I can use it as another picture, another type. I believe that this is also the mission field. I believe that we can use this promised land that Joshua was commanded to go in and take as a mission field to the world. And he said to Joshua, arise and lead this people over the Jordan and possess the promised land. You know, the promised land has been there all this time. You know, the promised land didn't just suddenly appear that day when Joshua was given the Great Commission. It had been there for all of those years. In fact, you remember the thing that happened at Kadesh Barnea. You remember what a tragedy when there they stood. Not even a river separated them then. It was simple. All they had to do was walk into the land. And you remember what they did. They sent in the spies. And the spies came back and they said, oh, this is a marvelous land. Well, this land is flowing with milk and honey. They brought back a bunch of grapes, and it took two men carrying a bunch of grapes to show them the enormity of the produce that was there. And yet, you know what they said? It's a marvelous thing, but we can't do it. We're not able, because these people are giants. The cities are walled, and we'll never be able to take the land. And you know, that's been the thing that stopped missions all the time. Or we say, we know there are millions out there that need to be reached. We know that there are abundant opportunities out there, but we just can't do it. We're not able. It takes too much money. It takes too much personnel. It takes too much of this and too much of that, and we're sure to fail. And so the mission fields have been there all of these years. They're not just suddenly appearing in these last centuries. You'd think if you read the history of the world that there were no mission fields until Carey and Judson and those folks came along. But listen, the mission fields were there all the time. But people were not willing to take God at His word and do what the Lord Jesus said and go. But you know what? The tragedy is people are still not willing to go.
Right.
Not in numbers. Listen, we don't have not even a fraction of the missionaries that ought to be on the mission field of the world. We're not even scratching the surface. Did you know that people are being born much faster than they're being reached? That's right. We're not even reaching the ones that are born. And what about the untold millions of people that already exist? Every single home ought to have. But I only had enough salesmen to reach one half of the houses that are being constructed. Well, don't you see? I'm getting further behind all the time, even with new construction. But what about all the thousands of houses that are already built? Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is that we're not even scratching the surface. The mission field out there is beyond imagination. The millions and millions and millions of people, and yet we stand on this side of Jordan making plans. Well, he said, arise and go over this Jordan,
amen,
thou and all this people, to the land which I do give to them. Listen, God has given it to us.
Amen.
God has given it to us. That's a promise that he made. And he made that promise back yonder in the Great Commission when he told the disciples to go and I'll be with you. And so he says here to Joshua, he said, you know, I made the promise to Moses and my promise is still good. What I promised to Moses is still true. I'll give it to you.
Amen.
If you'll only go, if you'll only step out, it's yours. It's yours for the taking. It's yours for the asking. And he says, here are going to be the boundaries. He says, first of all, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Did you ever have anything that was more mind-expanding than a promise like that? Bill and I got the wild idea that we'd buy some land. And rent keeps going up, and so we started looking for some land to buy. We thought we'd buy, you know, maybe an acre of land, and we could build a house on it, and we wouldn't have to worry about the inflation. Well, we just didn't start soon enough. Inflation already got there before we started. We went out to this place and found this old dumb farmer, we thought. Didn't think he'd know, you know, what land was worth. And so we took him out there. He said he had some land. We went out there with him, got him in the car, and took him out to where the land was. And we walked around it, you know. And after we got through walking around, he said, well, what do you want for this land? And he said, well, says, I guess about 200 pesos an acre. A meter. 200 pesos a meter. And a meter is about a square yard, about 3 square feet. And so Bill always carries his calculator. You know, he pulled out his calculator. And he looked at me and said, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I said, why? And he said, man, that how much was it, Bill?
$60,000 an acre.
$60,000 an acre. He said, that guy didn't know what he's talking about. And this is just a piece of, you know, old farmland. I mean, he admitted himself he hadn't been able to grow anything, you know, anything on it for about 3 years. Just laying there, you know, because there's not enough moisture. And Bill said, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Said, he doesn't know what a meter is, or he doesn't know what a pace is. So we got back in the car and we told him thank you, and we drove him down the road a piece, and we saw another little farmhouse, and we got out and we went in and asked him, and this thing, really, it wasn't even a decent chicken coop. Here this guy living in a house that I wouldn't keep chickens in, and he comes out and he says, yeah, I've got some land I sell. I said, I already found out, you know, you're walking all over the place, you know, I'll ask him before I start. I said, how much is your land? He said, oh, I guess about 300 pesos a meter. I said, Bill, we better go back and get that other than quick. But listen, can you imagine the promise of God that says, you just walk it off.
Amen.
What do you want? Just
amen.
Step it off.
Amen.
Every place that the sole of your foot treads is yours. No price attached to it. Just step it off. Boy, I tell you, if they'd say that to us, we'd step off, so I guarantee you. But God has given us a promise. I believe that that promise is just as valid today as it was in the day that he gave it to Joshua, that every place that the sole of our foot treads is ours. As he promised to Moses, as he promised to Joshua, as he said to James and Peter and John, every place the sole of your foot treads will be yours. My, we are just blind. We don't really believe God. If we did, I don't believe we'd sit here. I believe we'd be out marching and taking the land for God. Now, listen to me. These were not experienced soldiers he was talking to. These were slaves that had been in slavery for 400 years, and now they had been out there in the middle of this howling wilderness for 40 years. They had no preparation, they had no training, but they had come to the place where they believed God. Now let me remind you of something. You know who it was that took the promised land? It was the young people.
Amen.
Did you know that God will kill the old people if they won't take him
at
his word?
Amen.
And he'll raise up another generation. They said when they got to Kadesh Barnea, they said, use this as an excuse. Well, we're afraid to go in because we're afraid that our children will all be massacred. And you know what God said? Said, I'll tell you what. Said, your children are going to go and you're going to get massacred.
That's right.
He said, if you won't take my word, he said, I'll raise up your children. And they'll be the ones that go in and take the land. And that's exactly what he did. It says that every single one of those people, their carcass fell in the wilderness. And every one of them died without ever seeing the promised land. Without ever tasting the milk and the honey that God had promised them. And God raised up a new generation.
Amen.
Now listen, God is still the same God today. And if we will not take God at His word, and we'll not do what God says, then God will kill us off, and He'll raise up another generation that will. God is looking for people that will just believe Him.
Amen.
And take Him at His word. You know, what Sylvia did was ridiculous. It really was. I mean, who ever heard of somebody, a widow, taking two kids to a country that she didn't know a thing about.
Amen.
Didn't know what she was going to do when she got there. No promise of support. Just, you know, God said to go and she went. That's ridiculous. I mean, people just don't do it. Intelligent people don't do things like that. I mean, really, if she'd gone to a psychiatrist, he'd have probably had her locked up. But listen, God has always looked for people that are not looking at the circumstances, but that are looking to Him.
Amen.
And believing what He said.
Amen.
If you take the Word of God and look through it from cover to cover, you'll find that every single man that ever amounted to anything for God was he that in the face of unbelievable circumstances believed God.
That's right.
And stepped out.
Amen.
Look at old Gideon. How in the world? He didn't have enough men when he started to defeat that army. And then God whittled it down till he didn't have 300 people left. And well, that's ridiculous. Well, he didn't have enough men even to have a good Boy Scout troop. And God said, I want you to destroy the Midianites. But you know what he did? He just believed God and
Amen.
Went ahead.
Amen.
And you know what happened, don't you? He got the battle. He sure did. And today, God's telling us to do the same thing. He said, but Lord, just look at the numbers. That's right. There's millions and millions of them. And there's just tens of us. But that doesn't make any difference because, you see, God is the one who sent us out.
Amen.
So he says to them, all of this land is yours. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given to you. And then he gives them the boundaries. This wilderness from Lebanon even to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, toward the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, all of that shall be your coast. And then he says to them, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Listen, did you ever consider this? The same God that was with Abraham, the same God that was with Joseph, the same God that was with Moses, the same God that was with Joshua, and we can go on and name all of these names. That same God is with us.
Amen.
Now, why didn't they fail? Why, it wasn't because of them, it was because of the God that was with them.
Amen.
He said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And I tell you what, old Joshua, boom, he said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
He had seen God with Moses. He knew what God had done with Moses. And he said, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You can't fail, Joshua, because I'm going to do just like I did with him. You know what? He remembered back there when old Moses held that rod out and the old Dead Sea just split wide open. He remembered all that. He remembered how when they were fighting the Amalekites, you know, old Moses held his hands up and they won the battle.
Amen.
That's all they do, just hold his hands up. Did you ever hold your hands up? Just hold your hands up for God. You know, I don't understand what holding your hands up means for God, but you know, He's pleased with
Amen.
It. Just holding your hands up, just believing Him. But he remembered all of these occasions when Moses, by the dumbest things, you know, here they were out in the middle of the wilderness, starving to death, no water to drink, and here's a big rock, and Moses takes the rod, and he hits the rock, and the water just comes running out. Well, he says, boy, if you'll be with me like you were with Moses, then man, we can't lose.
Amen.
We've got made. But God is telling us the same today. Listen, as we go out, as Laura down there studying the language, she has this great encouragement. As God was with all the other missionaries, as God has always been faithful, He'll be faithful to
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, listen, if it wasn't for that, none of us could succeed. It's not what we do. It's not what we are. We're failures in ourselves. But He said, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you.
Amen.
And then He says, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Isn't that great? God telling us to be strong and of a good courage. But listen why he says that. Now, he says three times in this passage, be strong and of a good courage. But listen to what he says. The first time, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give him. He says, be strong because I'm faithful to keep my promise. Be strong and courageous because you can count on my word.
Amen.
What I've said, you'll see fulfilled. What I promise, you're going to receive. Listen, I have had a number of years on the mission field, and I've never yet missed a meal. I don't have an organization behind me. I don't have any great support coming in, but God knows my need. And I am as sure today that tomorrow will be the same.
Amen.
His promises are always good. You know, if you get a check from somebody, the last one might have been a good check, but this one might bounce. And you ever had that happen?
Yeah.
You received a check, and you said, well, man, it's always been good, and you just took it in good faith, and it bounced. You said, well, what happened? He ran out of money. But God doesn't run out of money.
Amen.
Listen, God's check always will be able to be cashed. God's promises never fail. So he says, be strong and of good courage, because I'm going to give you the land just like I promised. And then he says to him, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now listen, we are foolish if we think that we can just go out and have good success without the Word of God.
Right.
If we don't take the Word of God as a basis for everything we do, if we don't take the Word of God as a basis for our very life, then we're not going to have good success. He said, be strong and very, very courageous if you take my Word with you. If you're walking in my word, if you're walking according to my word, then you can be strong and very courageous. But not just be strong and courageous. That's foolhardiness. That's ridiculous for a man to go out without being prepared and fight a giant. But David, when he went out to Goliath, he said, I'm not afraid of you because I'm coming in the name of my Lord.
Amen.
He said, I'll fight anybody because I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Now, how are we going out? Are we going out in our own strength, our own ability? Or are we going out in the Word of God? He said, be strong and courageous. And you know, just as one thought, do you ever think about this? He says to Joshua, he says, thou shalt meditate there in day and night. Now, Joshua said, now, Lord, now, wait a minute. Now, wait just a minute. Now, you're telling me that I'm supposed to organize this multitude of people. I'm supposed to get across this river. I'm supposed to go in and I'm supposed to fight the battles and win all of these victories. And you want me to meditate in your word day and night. Now, you know I don't have time for all that. You ever use that excuse? Lord, you know I just don't have time. I just don't have time for your word. Lord, you know I'm so busy. But you know what? There's never an excuse.
That's right.
Not to be occupied in the Word of God. We've all used it. We're all guilty, but we ought to be ashamed before God. Listen, if Joshua, I don't believe there's ever a man lived, and I'm serious. I don't believe there's ever a man lived that had more to occupy him than Joshua did. Not even Moses. Moses wasn't fighting battles all the time. Listen, you start reading from there on, and you'll find him just one battle after another. It was just conflict, 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 and the people were not always what they ought to be. And yet he says to Joshua, meditate in my word day and night. Don't let it depart from you. Occupy yourself with my word. And you know, most of our failures are just because of that one thing. We're not occupied with the Word of God. Well, look in the next one when he said in verse 9. He says, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Why not be discouraged or dismayed? Because he's with us.
Amen.
Just like he said to the disciples in Matthew 28, whithersoever thou goest. Even to the end of the world. It doesn't make any difference what place you find yourself in. I'm going to be there with you. Be strong and of a good courage.
Amen.
Oh, if we only could believe that. If we could only believe that. Now listen to me. When Joshua walked across, he didn't even know at this time that the Lord was going to open up the Jordan River. He didn't know that. God hadn't told him yet. He sure didn't know that God was going to knock the walls of Jericho down. I don't know what he thought he was going to do. I don't have any idea. He didn't have any way to build a bridge. He didn't have any battering rams to knock down the walls. He didn't have any heavy armor. He didn't have any equipment. And yet, he believed God. Listen, most of us want to see everything laid out, and then we'll believe God. If God says, well, you do this, we say, well, Lord, how am I going to do it? And he lays out a map, you know, and draws it all out, and puts the money in the bank and everything. And then we say, well, Lord, I don't believe you now. Well, that's not belief. That's not faith. That's sight. Listen, when God says go, we ought to be able to step out just like Joshua did without seeing anything at all. Not knowing any plan of God at all. Why? Because he said he'd be with us.
Right.
Now whatever needs to be done, he'll do it.
Amen.
If we need to cross a river and there's no bridge, he can still park the water. If we need to enter a city and the walls are there, he can still knock down the walls. If we need something, God is able to deliver just
Amen.
Like he was then. But we don't believe that. We really don't. Most people are not able to take God at his word and believe simply like Joshua did. You notice what he did in the next verse? It says, then Joshua commanded the host of the people, saying, pass through the host and command this people, saying, prepare victuals. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in and possess the land
Amen.
Which the Lord your God gives you to
Amen.
Possess it. My, he was optimistic, wasn't he? He didn't say, now look, we're going to get together and we're going to start making some plans and we're going to start building an army and we're going to... He just said, get ready. He said, within 3 days, we're going to be over yonder. Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
Now, somebody said, Joshua, how are you going to do that? I don't know what in the world he would say. I don't have any idea. He didn't know. God hadn't revealed to him yet. But God said, go, and he believed it, and therefore he commanded. You know, it takes a great deal of faith to believe, but it takes a whole lot more faith to do what Joshua did and command others. He said, follow me. We're going. Where are we going? How are we going to get there? Joshua didn't know. But he was confident that God would open the way. Just one other thing, and then I'm through. You notice the next passage, it says, the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spake to them, saying, remember what God's done for you. He's already given you your land on this side of the Jordan. You're at peace. But he said, since you've got all of this now, he said, here's what God wants you to do. He wants all of the valiant men to lead the army across the Jordan River and into the promised land. And they're going to be at the very forefront of the battle. And you know what? I think this is significant. I think that's us. God's already given us peace. He's already given
Amen.
Us victory.
Amen.
But you know, there's a land out there that's unconquered. Well, who are we going to see in? Well, we're the obvious ones. We've already got peace. We've already got the victory. We ought to be in the very forefront of the battle.
Amen.
We ought to be the ones that go first. Oh, he said, you can leave your loved ones behind. You leave your children and your wives and your cattle. But listen, all of you valiant men, you're going to be in the very forefront of the battle. You're going to be the first ones to cross. You know, God's looking for men like that today.
Amen.
He's looking for those that have already found victory and peace, who'll be willing to get in the very front of the battle, to lay down their lives, to leave everything behind, and cross over and fight the battle for God. You know, a strange thing about the promised land. He said that everywhere the sole of your feet will trod will be yours. But you know, they had to fight. The mission field is out there, and God has promised the Lord Jesus Christ to give him the heathen as a gift. He's promised us that if we'll go, he'll go with us. He's promised us that there'll be victory, that success will always meet our efforts. But it's not on the couch. It's in the battle, my friend.
Amen.
Listen, God has a strange way of dealing with us today. He says, go, and I give it to you. But he puts the sword in our hand and says, you're going to have to fight. And we say, Lord, I don't understand. You said you're going to give it to me. That's right. Can you imagine after the fall of Jericho, those people come back and say, boy, aren't we great soldiers? Just look what we did to Jericho. Well, what did they do? They walked in and took it over. That's right. But God was the one that knocked the walls down. And yet they had to fight. What I'm telling you is that it's kind of a paradox. God says to go, and I'll do the work. And yet, you know that we have to do the work in a sense, don't we? We're the ones that have to preach. We're the ones that have to give the word out. We're the ones that have to endure the afflictions or whatever has to be endured. And yet, God has promised us that he's going to give to us success for our efforts. We've already found peace. We've already got our inheritance. My, listen, we've got everything that we could ever desire, haven't we? And yet, what about that land out there that hadn't been conquered yet? God says, all of you valiant men, all of you mighty men of valor, would you go? Would you lead the army? Would you be the ones that go first? God's looking for some mighty men of valor.
Amen.
Not just men. That word men, you know, is just talking about his people. He's looking for people that will be valued. Mighty, mighty people of valor that will lay their lives down, leaving everything behind and crossing over to give their lives, that land can be taken for the Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you've never changed.
Amen.
Lord, that the same way you dealt with Joshua,
praise you, Lord,
the same way that you dealt with the disciples is the same way you deal with us today.
Amen.
Lord, that commission that you gave to Joshua, oh God, how we long to have that faith this day. Oh God, fill our hearts, fill our very beings with the faith, Lord.
Amen.
To order our lives in such a way that we can step out just like Joshua, not having any idea how we're going to accomplish what you've said, but just believing you and taking
Amen.
Your word, Lord. Oh, you said, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Thank you, Lord, for your promise. Lord, we pray that right now, if there's someone here that's unsaved, that he or she will recognize that they're in that land that's going to be conquered.
Amen.
And Lord, there's only two kinds of people there. Those that will yield and believe are those that will be slain. And we pray, Lord, that they'll turn to you this morning and trust you. And we pray, Lord, that if there's some here that have heard you speak, that have sensed, Lord, you're dealing with them in this way of yielding their life to be a missionary. And Lord, to be an ambassador for you, to be a spokesman for you, to be a soldier. Lord, that they'll not put it off any longer.
Amen.
But by faith this morning, they'll step out and say yes. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.